Mike Savamayak, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. This is Dan with my joyful wife and fervent studier of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Chag Sukkot Sameach, which began last Friday on the standard Hebrew lunar calendar used in Israel. However, on the Essene solar calendar, Tabernacles begins tomorrow. Another reason we don't know the exact day or hour of the rapture, since Rosh Hashanah is also different on the Essene calendar. But if it is the year 2025, we can at least know within a week.
We'll talk more about that in 2025.
Well, meanwhile, as we said last week, all serious Bible students must have some knowledge of these important feast days, for they are the connecting bridge to understanding correct eschatology. Let us pray.
Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed are you, O Lord, King of the universe, who provides all our needs. Lord, may you drench us with your Mayim Hayim, living water of life. We covet your Holy Spirit presence tonight, and may you help us to better focus on the things that truly matter. We also lift up to you our recent prayer request and for the salvation of all our loved ones. We thank you for your many provisions, and may we prove worthy to receive them. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And amen.
So, besides our chaotic Congress today, you have some news that fits nicely into biblical eschatology.
Oh, I sure do. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen at the G20 summit last week warned everyone who refuse to accept the new digital ID system.
That means going cashless.
Mm-hmm. They'll be totally excluded from participating in society. Now let that sink in, saints.
You know, that's a pretty heavy statement there, girl.
It surely is, but another major sign.
The program is titled One Future.
As in one global government, governed by globalist organizations, such as the WEF, which is run by Klaus Schwab, who also said, and I quote, "One thing seems clear, the future will be digital."
Wow, he must read the Bible.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything is coming together, and that's the sweet part. I can hardly contain myself. First, we discovered the Essenes prophecy for the year 2025. Then just a few weeks ago, the Israeli peace deal coming together to fulfill Daniel 9:27, and now a definite calling for the cashless society, which states that if you refuse to partake, you'll not be able to buy or sell.
Well, you'll be excluded from society.
Yes, and it sets up well for the mark of the beast. Also, we've been hearing a lot about how the 14th Amendment would declassify Trump from running, claiming he pushed insurrection on January 6th. However, opinion writer John Seeler of California points out that the wording of the 14th Amendment refers to appointed officials rather than elected ones, and in other constitutional provisions, and that the Supreme Court has ruled in the past that a person who holds his place by virtue of an appointment is not, strictly speaking, an officer of the United States, period.
Hmm. All right, then. You can send your end-time questions by email to sheila@shofarministry.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate this type of teaching, please consider a love offering to help with our expenses and to keep us on the air. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministry.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived. for your added learning.
As we pointed out last week, the Feast of Tabernacles goes by many descriptive phrases, as in the waving of the lulav, which we explained in detail.
Along with the house of the water pouring.
And according to Zechariah 14, Tabernacles is the feast that everyone must celebrate in our coming kingdom, in Jerusalem, or no rain on their homeland. Obviously, there will be other nations in the millennial kingdom as well.
I know Egypt is specifically named in Zechariah 14.
Yes, verse 18. Egypt has been at peace with Israel since the time of Egypt's President Anwar Sadat in 1979. So, no surprise it is also the Feast of All Nations.
Because it's for all peoples.
You know, when I was there during the Feast of Tabernacles, it was awesome to see so many nations wearing their costumes of their many different cultures and carrying their national flags who come every year to celebrate in Jerusalem.
Tabernacles is also called the Feast of Dedication.
Yeah, because Solomon dedicated his temple on this feast in 1 Kings chapter 8.
We did mention last week it's also called the Greater Feast of Lights.
It is, because Jesus was born on the first day of Tabernacles, for he is the light of the world, and the lesser Feast of Lights is Hanukkah, which is when he was incarnated into Mary on the eighth day of Hanukkah. And, by the way, Jesus' number is 8, the number for eternity, or never ending, as the number 8 has no beginning or ending. It's two circles.
You know, God is such an amazing planner.
And then reveals those plans to us, particularly his last generation. We have been privy to more knowledge than all the other generations combined. But since we mentioned the number 8, let's take a side road and give you more information of how and why Jesus' number is 8 and how it all fits together. But first, you must probably know that gematria is the numbering system of letters in both Greek and Hebrew. But did you know that every one of Jesus' names are evenly divisible by 8?
So, nothing left over.
An example, take the Greek name for Jesus, meaning Savior, or Iesus. I has a value of 10, H has a value of 8, S is 200, 0 is 70, U is 400, and S is 200. Added together, it equals 888. In Hebrew, the names given to Jesus, the pattern remains the same.
Christ equals 1,480.
Or 185 times 8.
Savior is 1,408.
Or 176 times 8.
Lord is 800.
100 times 8.
Messiah is 656.
Which is 82 times 8.
Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man, a term which occurs 88 times.
Mm-hmm. And has a gematria of 2,960, or 370 times 8. And still another is the word truth, which adds to 64, or 8 times 8.
You know, that's pretty wild.
I know. The probability of any randomly chosen number being evenly divisible by 8 is 1 in 8. But the chances of just 4 of his names being divisible by 8 is 1 in 4,096, or 8 times 8 times 8 times 8, and so on. Yet the probability of this consistency simply occurring by accident with the 7 names I just calculated would be 1 in an astonishing 2,097,152.
Proof. The scriptures must be divinely inspired.
Mm-hmm. And again, our number is 6, the number of man, but we'll soon be a 7, the number of completion, and Jesus will forever be an 8, equal perfection. Okay, back to Tabernacles that still has another title.
The Feast of Ingathering.
Because all the harvest is gathered in the fall season as a type of his righteous sheep in Matthew 25 to be gathered into his kingdom. And also, like the parable in Matthew 13, of the separation at the end of the tribulation between the wheat and the tares, who are finally thrown in the fire. So again, when he returns at his second coming to earth, he will then set up his kingdom on earth and will tabernacle physically with us again, but this time as our literal ruler and king. As we all partake in the marriage supper of the Lamb in that glorious season of joy, some will be his wife, some will be the martyred saints in their resurrected bodies like ours, some others will be the human survivors of the tribulation called the tribulation saints, and the 144,000.
Aren't we all glad to be born again?
Exceedingly so. In our archives is a study on the book of Haggai where I taught about the seventh day of tabernacles called Hoshana Rabbah, which is
Tishri 21.
Or as the scripture says, the 21st of the seventh month. In Haggai chapter 2, God very specifically chose this day, Hoshana Rabbah, to speak through Haggai that Zerubbabel's temple was not like Solomon's and absolutely nothing like the Messiah's temple will be after he shakes the nations in judgment. Again, God specifically made sure they and future generations knew what day it was.
So it was obviously very important.
In fact, all the ceremonies on the seventh day of tabernacles become more elaborate and festive. And here's why.
Typology.
Yeah. Because in the 7,000th year from Adam, Jesus will set up his kingdom and also will declare his deity. Now jump forward to Jesus' day. According to John 7, and we know from verse 2, it was tabernacles. And verse 37 tells us it was on the last and great day of the feast, the seventh day. Now there is an eighth day, but they call that an extra day for a Sabbath rest.
Yeah, from all the partying.
Cute. But they were told to be joyful. And on the eighth day, as an extra Sabbath, is ordained by God in Leviticus 23, verse 39, and the first day, Tishri 15, was a high Sabbath as well.
Which, as we said, turns out to be the day of Yeshua's birth on earth.
Yeah, that would have been last Friday. Anyhow, the seventh day called Hoshana Rabbah means salvation now. And on that morning, they had just been in the temple reading out of Jeremiah, which was the tradition on the seventh day, to complement the ceremony surrounding the living water, that Mayim Hayim, that we talked about last week. And by the way, that's on our webpage if you missed it. Anyhow, Jeremiah refers to, in chapter 17, 13, which we'll read in a moment. But first let me recall to you an interesting episode that happened right after that temple service, as recorded in John 8. And it's about the woman caught in adultery that was brought to Jesus.
The Pharisees said she should be stoned.
Yeah, so they wanted his opinion. We know Yeshua forgave the woman, but we seldom discuss his writing in the dirt. And what was that meaning? Let's read that in John 8, starting in verse 5.
Now Moses, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. Again, Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their own, by their conscience, went out one by one.
So what finally occurred to them, since no one accused her?
What did he write?
Well, I've heard many explanations, but most overlook a scripture from Jeremiah that was also read on Hoshana Rabbah in the first century, and probably listened to a sermon about it, particularly because Jeremiah speaks about the fountain of living waters, the Mayim Hayim, and that, of course, the ceremony that we spoke about last week that's done during this time. But a more elaborate ceremony is always done on the seventh day, where the people circled the altar seven times instead of once. So let's read what they would have heard that morning in synagogue, Jeremiah 17:13.
O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters.
Mm-hmm. Last week we explained the ceremony called the House of the Water Pouring. He more than likely wrote their names on Hoshana Rabbah in the dirt because it was a symbol of being doomed to the grave.
So they dared not accuse her.
Right. And they just heard it. And these, by the way, in these often missed nuggets, time and time again, we can see that Yeshua taught the people deep messages of himself, especially during these festivals. These feasts were extremely important for them.
Because God wanted them to be.
Right. So how much more important for us to learn by them and to see Jesus in them? And just think of the awesomeness of God to have pre-planned these events so meticulously as a major teaching tool for you. It's so phenomenal to me that we often talk about having to catch our breath whenever we think of all that he has so precisely maneuvered so that those who choose to can comprehend him in a deeper and certainly a brighter light.
Yeah, and that which we know that is his desire.
Mm-hmm. So, again, this is why knowing your spiritual roots is such a blessing, because you discover how detailed God is.
Which truly does increase your faith.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
The official season of Tabernacles ends this year on Sunday, which is that eighth and extra day of the feast, and actually has two titles, as in Shemini Atzeret,
meaning the eighth day of the solemn assembly,
but can last for 2 days if you're living outside of Israel, days 7 and 8, with also the name Simchat Torah,
meaning rejoicing in the Torah on the final eighth day.
Anyhow, the 21st day of Tishrei is the seventh and last day for mandatory dwelling in their sukkahs. But the eighth day is an extra day, just for rest.
Besides the regular Saturday Sabbath.
Right. So, I have to tell you that while I was in Israel, I asked a Jewish person what the eighth day of the feast meant. And she kind of hesitated for a while, and then she said it was just because it's the ending day of this long feast and needed a rest, which is why it is called an extra Sabbath, which would be called a Shabbaton. However, we who know our roots know why God set the first day and the eighth day apart as holy.
Because the first day of Tabernacles was his birth, and the eighth day would be his circumcision.
Mm-hmm. A very important date,
mm-hmm.
For it is a typology of his blood covenant that Christ would later fulfill at the cross. And circumcisions, according to Genesis 17 and Luke 12, were always done on the eighth day after birth. Because? the blood clots more quickly on the eighth day.
And only on the eighth day.
Because vitamin K is at its peak, avoiding hemorrhaging. So today's hospitals just give the babies a shot of vitamin K. But still, God told them in his Torah law, way before they knew about the clotting, or vitamin K for sure. This is something that you can use when witnessing to someone who thinks, oh, the Bible was just written by man and not inspired.
As so many other facts do as well.
Mm-hmm. There's no way people would know this, so many of these things without God. So yes, Shemini Atzeret means the close of the eighth day. Also, again, as we said, a Sabbath rest. And is also called Simchat Torah, which means rejoicing in the Torah. And here's why. They then begin again the weekly Torah readings for the year. You see, still today, every Saturday, the same sequential reading of the five books of Moses is read all around the world in all the synagogues. So on the eighth day of Tabernacles, on Simchat Torah, they celebrate the finishing of the reading of the Torah in Deuteronomy 34 and begin all over again in Genesis 1.
Reminds them that the Torah is a circle, never ending.
And why it's on the eighth day, because it's also meaning never ending, the number for eternity. And as we said,
Jesus' number is 8.
Yes, and by the way, number 6 is for man, and soon will be a 7.
Praise the Lord to that.
Yep. Honey, quickly read that quote from that Jewish website.
On Simchat Torah, we rejoice in the Torah, and the Torah rejoices in us. The Torah, too, wants to dance, so we become the Torah's dancing feet.
In Israel, I watched them in their black suits and black hats literally dance in the streets, holding the big Torah scrolls. How fitting, because for us, he really is inside us.
Well, you know, Jesus is the Torah.
And there's a famous song sung on the eighth day of this feast of joy called Sisu V'Simku, which means, let us rejoice together on Simchat Torah, giving honor to God's Torah. And tonight, we're going to play a snippet of that song in just a second. But first, do you know Jesus? If not, get on your knees right now, repent, invite him in, and start living for him. Make him Lord over your life. You'll never regret it. And you're coming to a close of when you won't really have much more time. He is coming soon, and that I can promise you. So enjoy this song, and we'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.